Okay, so this is a very short sugya. So if you open to Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara discusses this question of making a bracha on a borrowed talis in 3.5 lines. It's the entire sugya.
I was trying to set it to start from Omar Rabbi Yehuda, so I was looking through the whole page trying to find it. I realized I'm on Mem Gimel.
That wouldn't do it. It's Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Good. So who wants to take the Gemara? It's not very complicated.
Do they go into what borrowed means, or are you supposed to preconceive it?
Didn't you do the Makoros this morning?
I almost did.
Busted, so busted.
Come on. Good, you can do the Gemara.
I just simply not. Fine. Glad.
Okay, Daniel can do the Gemara. Fine.
Darn.
You want to?
I don't mind, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm Rabbi Yehuda.
That's further down. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Talit sheoled kol shlishim yom petura mina tzitzit.
So a borrowed talit, the first 30 days it is?
Patur.
Good. So clearly, what do we mean here by talit?
A garment with four corners.
Without tzitzit. We don't mean what we call a talit. We mean a garment. And what we'll see is that one of the central questions that complicates this is the classic sugya is about a borrowed garment, not a borrowed talit, in what we call a talit. A borrowed garment, a four-cornered garment, do you have to put tzitzit on it?
Is this?
Most of the lemaisa questions are the secondary thing, which is, once you borrowed something which has a talis, can you make a bracha?
Right.
That's going to be most of what the psak is, but most of the sugya is not about that.
Well, aren't they the same thing?
Maybe, because they're the same in terms of whether you're obligated to make a bracha. They might not be the same in terms of whether you're able to make a bracha. But they're not necessarily identical.
Is this definition of talis the same in all of Gemara, or just over here it's a talis meaning without tzitzit?
Here it means, well, in general, in Gemara, talit means a beged.
It doesn't mean with tzitzit.
No.
That's very interesting.
I mean, Shnayim Ochsen Betalit, which is the first second above Matia, clearly means two people holding a garment. It doesn't matter with tzitzit, without tzitzit. It doesn't have to be closed at all. It could be anything. It's just the example that it gives.
So, when the Rambam says when you daven you have to wrap yourself in a talis, doesn't necessarily mean like a talis, it just means clothing. Possibly. Right?
Ituf isn't about, correct. Ituf is not about tzitzis. There may be a special halacha in tzitzis, but Ituf is not
well, because
per se identical.
Other than the Rambam, correct. No one else, I mean like the Mishnah Berurah doesn't think it's a talis, it just thinks it's clothing.
There are two halachot there.
So
you are correct. There's the question.
Even according to the Rambam, you can interpret it as clothing and not a talis.
Well, potentially, except remember we saw in addition there's that midrash that is quoted the halacha of the value of having the tzitzis, wrapped dafka with tzitzis. So there is a value of the tzitzis, but you're right, there's two functions going on, and part of it is ituf, which is independence.
Is there a concept 100%. Of lakavod or tzibor by wearing a talis when you're daven?
That we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Yeah. Right, so from now on, after 3 days, you are obligated.
Oh, yeah. Fundiki.
This obviously you remember very well. We spent a week on this last year. We did the mezuzahs, I guess.
Which part of mezuzah?
This one.
Meaning, yeah.
Hadar befundiki be'eretz Yisrael. If you live in a... You're right. You didn't get smicha in mezuzah. That was just Mati and...
Ariel.
And Zev?
No, they tried. Zev and Morty did it like 2 months before the end of the year.
Last year, our two madrachim got smicha in mezuzah.
So we have to call them Rav if they come visit us.
We don't have to call them Rav. We got smicha in mezuzah from Rizal Menachem at Goldberg. You can, yes. Basically, they wanted to take Rizal Nehemiah Goldberg's smicha or take-home tests, which are extremely rigorous. Like, you need a letter that you're learning in a kollel or whatever, in yeshiva, and then you need to take the test. He reviews it, gives you a little bit of an interview, bechina, whatever, and then give you smicha. So Mati had been learning Yerodea, doing kashras for like the whole year, and then at the end of the year, he wanted to take the test, so he asked me for it, so I forwarded him an email with the test, which someone had sent me, but it had all of his bechinas. And they're like, wait, why do I do it in kashrus? He has one here in mezuzah. I could get smicha in mezuzah. We were not very happy with them dafka doing this, but both of them ended up getting
smicha. Did it
in
like 3 months or something?
It's a take-home test on mezuzah.
Yeah.
How hard can it be?
Boy, I want to do that. I'll make people call me rabbi.
Anyways, But that was not when we did it. We did it because the sugya was an avodah zara.
You meant here.
So if you live in when we did the sugya an avodah zara,
fundikim meaning that it's.
So if you live in an inn, if you live in an inn for in Israel, basochar bayit bechol, or you rent a house in Chutz Laaretz, called shloshim yom patur min hamezuzah, the first 30 days you are exempt. Mikan ve'elach chayav, aval asochar bayit be'eretz Yisrael, osem mezuzah altar mishum yishuv be'eretz Yisrael. But if you rent a house in Israel, you need to put a mezuzah immediately.
Is there a reason for this? What is the reason for this? Logistical? Like, why does it matter where the house is? If you're chayav, then you're chayav. Why does it give you these 30 days or not?
I don't want to get into the mezuzah too extensively because we did last year. What?
It makes no sense. Meaning, you're chayav to put a mezuzah in your house, right?
Correct.
Where you're living. Why does it matter where the house is?
Because if you're not living in it for more than 30 days, it's not really.
No, that's not what it's saying here. It's saying if it's either b'chutz la'aretz or not.
No, that's only something that you're living in temporarily.
Right, but that's my question, though. Temporarily, either in Israel or Chutz La'aretz, why does it matter? Meaning,
because Eretz Yisrael is a permanent law.
So it could be, correct, so it could be that this is just a derabanan, mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It could be that it's d'oraisa, that in Israel it's considered your house more, and therefore even temporary dwelling is considered permanent in Israel, but temporary, in Chutz La'aretz only permanent dwelling. We dealt with this last year.
Didn't we say it's also possible it's like a chiyuv on the place?
We got into this with Chovas Hadar. What exactly is the nature of the chiyuv? That's what we did last year. What does Chovas Hadar mean?
That's why even if you rent out for a person that would do a vote.
Again, I don't want to get that's the context we did this in. Correct.
See, I do know this stuff still.
This is the sugya we did last year. Yes, that's why we did it. In Avodah Zarah. Correct. Is it the nafkamina of these of what? Yes.
Avodah Zarah was a lot of fun last year.
It was a lot of fun. Okay, but the halacha is that if you borrow a beged for 30 days, so you are. Not out for less than 30 days, you are not obligated to put tzitzis on it. And if you borrow it for more than 30 days, then you are obligated. Parallel to the way that by mezuzah, let's assume for a moment in Chutz La'aretz or a inn and not a rental in Israel,
that
up to 30 days you're chayav.
Hadar bepundaki. Pundaki is
an inn.
Right.
An inn.
What does hadar mean?
Well, no, hadar bepundaki. If you live in an inn,
isn't hadar beautify?
No, hadar, not hadar, hadar.
Different next door.
Emphasis on different.
No, hadar, hey dalet resh. The shoresh is hey dalet resh.
Right.
Hadar is hey is the dar, one who lives.
How am I supposed to
the
know
shoresh
that?
Is different.
It's the same. How am I supposed to know that?
Doesn't know.
Yeah, you just have to know it. Here it's hadar, the one who lives. The shoresh is dalet resh hey or dalet yud. Reish?
Dalet Vav Reish?
Like
they are.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is the Shoresh. I don't know which one the Shoresh is. It's the same word.
Wait, no.
But I don't remember the Shoresh is. It's either Dalet Yud Reish or Dalet Vav Reish. I'm not sure.
Well, Dalet Reish is the door, like generation.
No, that's Dalet Vav Reish.
What?
Yes.
You gotta know that.
Yeah, that's Dalet Vav Reish. But it's if either Dalet Yud Reish or Dalet Vav Reish is the Shoresh. I don't know which one it is. It's Dayar, the liver, is someone who lives. Correct. Someone's going to yell at me that my grammar isn't good enough. I don't know which one it is. That's fine. Okay. So, let's try to understand this halacha. We're going to focus on the tallest one. We will use the mezuzah part of it as much as we need to. What questions do you have in the sugya? Besides for this makes no sense. Let's clarify it makes no sense. Let's try to understand it.
Meaning the comparison between talis and mezuzah?
Or just this halacha. Let's start with talis. What is the halacha?
Well,
what is the nature of this halacha?
Any garment, any beged that has four corners is obligated in tzitzis. Why should you be able to hold that off for 30 days? Even if you're just renting it or borrowing it. The beged itself is chayiv in tzitzis. Then as soon as it's in your possession, you should have to put tzitzis on it.
So you're already jumping and saying, well, if you hold that it's a chovas talis and not a chovas
person.
Right? Remember? That was a machlokas in the Gemara.
Even if it's a chovas gavra, why not?
Because it's temporarily for the person.
Because you might say.
So what?
Good. So you
it's
could
still
have said.
Your position, you're still using it. even if it's Chavos Gavra, you should be.
So what you're asking is what it. Right? So first, you what you said works more for Chavos Talis, right? Which is if it's Chavos Talis, so the beged's obligated. Who cares if I'm borrowing it? I'm owning it. And now you're saying, and even if you. If it's on the person, who cares? You're wearing it. Isn't it about lovesh, right? That's really the question. Isn't the halacha that if you wear a four-corner garment that you have to put tzitzis on it? Isn't that the halacha? So what does it matter how I come to own it? Why is that a relevant category? Good. That's the most fundamental question. Another question we're going to have to deal with is... what is this difference between before and after 30 days? Meaning... once you say that borrowing is a category in which you're not chayav, so it's all or nothing. Right? If we can manage to justify it...
you're going to have to say after 3 days it's not borrowing anymore.
So there are two directions. So either you could say... good. So either you can say what Daniel says, which is... question one is justify why borrowing is exempt. Question two is... explain 30 days. Possibility one within that question is... maybe after 30 days, it's not really called borrowing anymore. It's called something else, and therefore it's chayav.
That's what Tosso says.
Or, it is borrowing, but
it's
you're chayav for some external reason.
Yeah, borrowing because people might think you're not.
Good. Now, we can call external dirabanan, right, which is what Tosso does. Right? Doraisa versus dirabanan. Exactly. Right. So question one we have to answer is, why does this category exist called shoel? Category, question two is, why is that category limited to 30 days? And is it because this is not really a shoel? Or is it is a shoel, but maybe there's some derabanan that tells you have to wear a talis, where you have to put tzitzis on the talis? Anyways. So let's start with Tosfos. Because Tosfos answers, provides a perspective on all of these questions. So what's Tosfos' perspective?
You learn it from Makos.
Well, first give me...
example where 30 days comes from.
So first tell me... so he does this out of order. He does this out of order.
Halva.
He does this out of order. Right? Tosfos starts with question number
two.
Question number two. Which is, why 30 days? So, possibility one is what he doesn't want you to say. Ein l'dakdek, what does ein l'dakdek always mean? Don't say this, which means, here's a conceptual model that's possible, I just don't like it. So what's the conceptual model that he doesn't like? Which is, what's the conceptual model he doesn't like?
Comparing it to halva.
Okay, so let's be very careful. Here's his model. Ein l'dakdek mikan d'stam she'elah shloshim yom. Don't tell me that the reason is that a normal, unclarified borrowing of an object is 30 days, and therefore, by implication, after 30 days, what is it?
Not borrowed.
It's owned, right? It's owned or something like that. Where do we see a halacha like that?
Makos.
In the context of halva'a. What's halva'a?
When you give someone food or clothing or something.
Alone. Halva'a. What's the difference between halva'a and she'ula? She'ela?
Halva'a is loaded.
What's the difference?
You pay.
Loaning is, it becomes a person's property.
Halva'a is money and she'ela is an object. That's the difference. That's the difference. Halva is money.
Can't you loan not money?
Not in Hebrew, you can't.
No.
That's the problem. In Hebrew, there are different words. A halva is a monetary loan, and a she'ela is...
everything other than money.
...is an object. So if you look at the Gemara in Makot, I gave it to you in 4 that he's referring to. Tani nami hachi, ha-malveh chaveiro stam... Eino reshayet letovo pachot mishloshim yom. If you lend somebody money and don't clarify how long the loan is for, you are not allowed to claim it back for less than 30 days. Echad amalve bishtar v'echad amalve alpeh. Whether this was done verbally or in a contract. Amar le Shmuel Rav Matna. Lo teitiv akar ech. So Shmuel said to Rav Matna, don't sit down on your knees, ad mafarshet la lahashmata, meaning Explain to me now. Don't sit down, don't relax. Right now, explain to me this halacha. Where is this halacha from? So Omar Le, he said, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Karva Shnat HaSheva, Shnat HaShmita. Because the Pasuk says, the year of Shemitah is coming. The seventh year is coming. So the Gemara says, Mimashma Shnemar Karva Shnat HaSheva, Ein Yodei Shei Shnat Shmita. Aren't those identical? The seventh year, the sabbatical, is coming. Aren't those the same? So Elamatam Lomar Shnata Shmita. So why does the Pasuk invoke two terms, year seven and Shemitah? Lomar Lacha, to tell you, Yeshmita Cheret Shikazo. There is another,
the ultimate Shemitah.
Shemitah like this, Ve'ezazo. There's another time in which you are not allowed to claim loans, which is
before
30
days.
Before 30 days. Because the minimum part of a year that is considered
a year
is a month.
What? What does that mean?
Yeah, like a significant amount of time.
Correct. The least. Amount of time that's significant enough to register as a year is a month. You know how like 14 months is, so 14 months is three years ago, not 36 months ago, but
what?
3 years ago could mean now it's 50, right now it's 2020, so 2017, or it could mean three academic years ago. So if you're, but think about it. It's like if you did something in the last day of ninth grade, and now you're at the beginning of 11th grade, you say 3 years ago, right? Meaning in ninth grade, 3 grades ago. The minimum of that
that's
is...
That's just how people talk, though.
Two.
Yeah, but in halacha, that's how we talk, too.
Okay.
Meaning, it happened in 2018. That's...
2 years ago.
The third year ago.
Depends how you count.
The third year ago.
No, it's
the third year ago.
You know,
2018 could have been 1 year ago.
It could have been 14 months ago, but it couldn't be halachically 3 years.
It could have been like 12.
That's the point.
Theoretically.
So, now even within this Gemara, we have to ask, is this a real drasha or an asmachta?
It's pretty fake.
If it's an asmachta, then what would it mean? If it's an asmachta, then what you'd say is really, alone is alone.
Whatever it says.
And the norm is that if you don't specify, it's 30 days. And the reason you can't claim the loan back within 30 days is because if you didn't specify, everyone assumed that it was 30 days. And this isn't really a fundamental halacha. Alternatively, you say, no, that's the halacha. Unless you specify otherwise, a loan is defined as 30 days. So now... Tosvos says, well, you know what? Maybe it's easier if we do it this way. Look at the Ramban. Look at the Ramban that I gave you. Because the Ramban clarifies this a little bit. So you have several questions on this Gemara. One is the Hazalach of 30 days just in Umdana? Meaning, people generally, when they don't say anything, they mean a month? Or is it a real halacha? The second question is what Tosvos deals with, which is, does whatever apply to monetary loans apply to
borrowing?
So Omer Hayrabinu Tamzal Dua Din Lushoa Kleme Chavirosh Ein Sheila Pchuta Mishloshim Yom. Rabinu Tam, and this is what you always should expect, that when Tosfot Bayah says, don't draw the following conclusion, that means
somebody did.
And who is that somebody?
Rabinu Tam.
He's the most somebody you could possibly be if you're a Bala Tosfot.
Why is that not surprising?
It's not surprising at all. Right? Rabbeinu Tam is the most important person that you could possibly quote if you're a Bala Tosfot. He is number one of the Bala Tosfot.
Right. How do you quote him and say no?
Well, you can disagree. And they are. But yes, they say, Ein L'daktik, don't draw the conclusion that Rabbeinu Tam drew. V'gomer l'amid etanya talit shi'ula kol shloshim yom p'tura min atzitzit. And what was his proof that this category of 30 days applied equally to objects as it did to money. Surprise, surprise. What was his proof? The Talis case. The borrowed Talis. Aha! You see that the category of Talis is 30 days. And therefore he says, and now Rabbeinu Tam answers both questions for you. He answers question one and question two. But this is always the problem because it's in backwards order. So question one was, why is a borrowed piece of clothing exempt? What's Rabbeinu Tam's answer?
It's not.
Ksutcha. It's a gzeirat hakatuv. That it's not true that that clothing needs tzitzis. What clothing needs tzitzis?
Your
clothes. It's a gzeirat hakatuv. Your clothes. Ksutcha. That's question one. Question two, why 30 days? What's Rabbeinu Tam's answer?
Because after
30 days, it's not a stam lo. But
in that case, it'd be unless he specifies
it.
So.
And then he says, one second. Well, look what he says. He says, "V'keva de nafkalei midin stam she'ela." Now, does he think this is deraisa derabana, Rabbeinu Tam? Derabana. Look.
Wait, which part?
The 30 days. No. So he thinks the exemption is biblical, but he thinks the limitation to 30 days is derabana. Why? Because Rabbeinu Tam has the following very simple argument. A normal run-of-the-mill borrowing case, how long is that borrowing for?
30 days.
Which means that if you are wearing a beautiful four-cornered garment for a day and it doesn't have tzitzis, what will somebody say? What will somebody say? Why is he not putting tzitzis? It's not his, he's borrowed it. It's a simcha, he borrowed this. And if he sees you wearing it for a week, what will he say?
He's still...
It's the wedding, it's the Sheva Brachos, whatever. If he sees you wearing it for 2 weeks, he'll say his in-laws are in town, he wants to impress them, he's still wearing it. If it's 3 weeks, etc. When it hits day 31, he'll say, he must have bought it, oi! What a chote, a Russia, he's wearing this without tzitzis.
That's ridiculous.
So Rabbeinu Tam says, this is his argument. Innocent. Question one, why is a borrowed piece of clothing exempt from tzitzis?
There's
a cause of your bed. Why 30 days? Derabanan. What's the difference between less and more than 30 days?
People might not.
So since a normal loan, even of objects, a normal borrowing is for 30 days, within a month, people will basically give you the benefit of the doubt and say, the reason you need to put tzitzis is because... It's not his. But once you start wearing it, for more than that, they're going to assume that you bought it, because that's not a normal borrowing.
There's two things wrong with that. One is...
Can we first articulate his position? Let's just read it. So, he doesn't actually say the mar ayin. Sorry. He doesn't say mar ayin. That's the other shita.
What's that mar ayin?
Sorry, that is the Ramban. The Ramban says, "Ra'ein ra'ez yuklum." The Chol Shlosh Yom Ptura Davide Inchi Demushlit Lodin Yom. We can't be lechayevet mipnei Mar Da'ayin. Davide Inchi Demushlit Tveil Kol Emet Debay Mari Adzik Shakile. So Ramban argues on two counts. He says, first of all, there is no such halacha. Right, with a borrowed object, you can come and take it whenever you want. He said it just happens to be that most people don't borrow. So he argues Rabbeinu Tam on 2 points. He says, first of all, Rabbeinu Tam thinks that halachically, a stam she'ela is 30 days. He disagrees. He says, a borrowed object, you want to take it back after a day, you're allowed to. It's just that most people don't.
That's even worse.
What? Wait! Oh! Okay? Okay. Question one. Let's try this again. Question one. Why is a borrowed object exempt?
Ksutcha.
Ksutcha. So far, no one has argued on that point.
It's a solid point.
No one has argued on that point. Question two. What's the difference between less and more than 30 days? So, the Ramban says, fundamentally, there is no such halacha that a regular she'ela is 30 days like a halva'ah. It's just that people normally borrow things for months. If you wanted to, you could go and pick up the object earlier. You just normally don't. And therefore, the entire halacha here of 30 days, not 30 days, is one reason, which is Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin, that less than a month people will say, eh, he's probably borrowing it. After a month people will say, oh, he borrowed it and he's a Rasha because he doesn't put tzitzit on his bed yet.
How could something be Maris Ayin if sometimes it isn't, sometimes it isn't? Meaning,
it's perception, he says, because people normally borrow things for a month.
But it's not objective perception. And for different people, it's different. So how can you base halacha based on subjective perception?
That's why we always base Maris Ayin. Literally always.
No, Maris Ayin is...
No, it's not.
No,
it's not.
No, Maris Ayin is like, if I walk into McDonald's, right? It's not objective perception. Everyone sees that. Everyone knows McDonald's isn't kosher.
Oh, so why do you...
In America.
Why can you...
Why is it Maris Ayin?
That's Maris Ayin.
Why?
Because people... You might confuse people that
it's
kosher.
Better question.
It's not Maris Ayin. That might be chashad. It's not Maris Ayin.
Now, if you walk out of McDonald's with a burger, then that's Maris Ayin.
That might be Maris Ayin.
Okay, fine.
There are different things, and right, it's fine. Very Maris Ayin is complex. We did this last year, didn't we?
I think we were like cats.
We did Maris Ayin. I don't want to get into that. What? Okay. So Maris Ayin is complicated. So let's not get it. We call it Maris Ayin, call it chashad, call it whatever you want. The point is that according to the Ramban, this is very simple. There's no formal halacha that more than 30 days are different in terms of Shayla. If you wanted to go and take your borrowed, beautiful, four-cornered toga back from Gavi after a week, you'd be allowed to. Now, I would note that, remember, in the time of the Gemara, how many pairs of clothes did people have?
One,
maybe two. So we're not talking, nowadays, I assume most of you don't calculate how often each of your friends wears different shirts, because like they have so many clothes. Right. But in the time of the Gemara...
Where is that hoodie, like, so...
But I'm actually wearing the other hoodie for the past few days. But yeah, where was it?
What are the two you wear for the week?
But when it comes to a world in which people wear one, they have one garment, so people might pay attention. I assume that's what's going on here. So Ramban says, look, this is pure Maris Ayin. There's no formal halacha difference between 30, not 30, doesn't matter. It shows that people normally borrow for 30 days. So within 30 days, people will give you the benefit of the doubt. After 30 days, they stop giving you the benefit of the doubt. Done, Maris Ayin, that's the whole halacha. That's what Ramban understands the entire sukkah.
So according to the Ramban, if that doesn't apply today, because we have more clothing, then...
So then it could be that the halacha was formalized, but theoretically, you could distinguish... Right,
well,
theoretically.
If the halacha is not deraisa.
Theoretically.
Because it's not, then.
Yeah, but once something is made into a derabanan, even if the motivation is Maris Ayin, it may be that it doesn't change. So we could quibble about that. But fundamentally, that's not Ramban understands the halacha. How about Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam says.
There's a grief upon
question that. One. Why are you pater? He agrees that it's ksutcha deraisa. Question two. What's the difference between 30 days and after 30 days? First question, is it deraisa derabanan?
Derabanan.
But why does he think it's different?
Because 30 days is agreed upon time.
No. It's not agreed upon. Ramban thinks about Maris Ayin, and this is normally what people do. What does Rabbeinu Tam say?
He darshens it out.
It's a halacha. That a normal she'ela is 30 days. And therefore, even though you could make a loan for 15 days, you could make one for 50 days. But because the normal category is 30 days, what happens after 30 days? Midirabanan.
It becomes yours.
It becomes yours, sort of, derabanan. It's not Maris Ayin. It's yours on a derabanan level.
But deraisa is still not.
Because a normal loan, deraisa, is 30 days. So after 30 days, you're already in the realm of abnormal loans, of extended loans. And therefore, on a derabanan level, it becomes yours.
Is that normal, what he means most common?
No. He thinks this is deraisa. Ramban thinks most common. Ramban says it's common, and therefore it's a Maris Ayin problem. Rabbeinu Tam says the halacha is that a normal... Therefore, the Ramban says...
What does that mean, normal?
The difference is very simple. According to the Ramban, if you lend your toga to Gavi, and you want it back after a week, or you let it say, Gavi, I want it back?
Yeah.
Yes, you just normally wouldn't for a month.
I understand the Ramban.
But according to Rabbeinu Tam, are you allowed to ask it back?
No.
No! When you gave it to him, the assumption was... Based on the pasuk, that he has 30 days unless you say otherwise. And now you're not allowed to have it back for a month. That's the difference. That's a huge difference. Right? The Ramban says normally people won't ask it back for a month. But if they want to, they can. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, unless you explicitly specify otherwise, the nature of the deal is that by lending it out, he now has rights to it for a month, and you can't change that. And you can't ask it back. You can't force him to give it back to you.
Why does the person he's borrowing from have a beged without tzitzis?
He just made it. The tzitzis just ripped.
He just made it. He's still be chayav.
He hadn't put on a... He's a tailor. He just finished making, and Gadi walks in and says, I have a wedding. Do you mind if I borrow your celebratory toga? He says, sure, just get it back to me. I have a wedding in 6 weeks. I need it back.
Isn't he still chayav automatically once he makes it?
We haven't gotten into the relevance yet of Chovas Tal and Chovas. We haven't gotten there. Okay, I'm giving you a circumstance, okay? Gavi Mamish comes in the second you finish sewing.
He's a chassid.
Okay, fine. He comes in when even according to the chassidim, you right before you put it in, so at that moment, you know, come up with a case, I don't know. The tin is ripped, whatever. So now look at Tosos. Tosos says, "Ein l'daktik mikan distam sheila shloshim yom kama halva." He said, first of all, this is like the Ramban, not like Rabbeinu Tam. There is no such rule that a loan of 30 days is borrowing an object is for 30 days. Like Parakam Makos, Chada the Dama sheila the Talad Dafka. He said, first of all, maybe this halacha is only about clothing. Right? Maybe it's only clothes that people give 30 days. There's no halacha here about all borrowings, right? Because he said it could just be context. It could be that if I borrow, think about it, you go to a gemach and you borrow a gown, they usually give you a few weeks because you get it, you know. Like this is what my wife did, right? She got a gown for, you know what a gemach is? We're all clear? Okay.
Yes.
Right? You know, so people who don't want to spend $1,000 on making a dress they're going to wear for 3 hours, they go to, right? People donate these to a gemach and you borrow it from them. So what normally happens? You go a few weeks before the wedding because you need to make sure that it fits. You need to make sure that it fits the color of the wedding. And then they say, okay, what day is the wedding? Maybe, you know, you have to dry clean it, so bring it back, you know, a week after the wedding, 2 weeks after. Clothes, you know, you don't normally borrow clothes for 5 minutes, right? Because you got it in advance before when you were thinking, etc. If someone borrows your pen, they're not usually borrowing it for 30 days. They're borrowing it to jot down a note, to write up notes on a sheer. The expectation of giving it back to you in 10 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, a day, not 30 days. By 30 days, the pen might run out of ink. You know, like, that's not how things work. So Dozen said, first of all, I don't buy this notion that there could be a rule from the Torah that the norm of a she'ila is 30 days. It depends on the object. Right? So he doesn't buy Rabbeinu Tam's rule at all. Like the Ramban. And he's, therefore, he says, what's the problem? It's like the Ramban. It's just Marzayin. That ad shloshim yom savri into the shulahi dein derech shel yosem bidar rais of tur la olam kedashin reish dagei zem chavel lo shalachirim alchanami suv chavel lo shalachirim. So he agrees. Point one, it's patur forever. Midar raisa, it becomes chayav after 30 days, like the Ramban Marzayin. Okay, that's Tosfot, and that's the Ramban. So now, so far, we have two formulations. Both the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban / Tosfos by us agree that it's exempt midaraisa. That pretty much no one's going to argue on, so let's leave that. Right? Basically, everyone says the reason it's patur midaraisa is because of sutcha. Both Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban agree that after 30 days it's only chayav midarabanan. But the machlokes is.
Why?
Why? The Ramban says there is no such halacha of a loan 30 days. There's no categorical difference. Loans are of objects are for as long as you want them to be, or short as you want them to be.
Is there a practical difference based on, like, depending how you interpret it, or does it really matter practically?
Well, for them, the practical difference is whether after a week you're allowed to demand it back from Gazi. According to the Ramban, according to Tosfos in Menachot, if you want to take it back after a week, after an hour, you're allowed to, because there is no halacha you get 30 days. Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's a halacha you get 30 days.
Then also,
and then it spills over into the machlokes by Talis.
Is it a different iser if you don't pronounce it after 30 days? I mean, according to the Rambam, it would be Maris Ayin.
According to the Ramban, it's Maris Ayin. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a violation of Ksutcha Midirabam.
Which one's worse?
I don't know if they are worse. In that sense, I don't know there's an afkamina.
Right.
But they argue on terms of two questions. One is, locally in She'ela, or in Kol Dergula, is Stam She'ela Shloshim Yom, halachically, Ramban, no. Rabbeinu Tam, yes. Nafkamina, are you allowed to demand it back after a week? Nafkamina too is how do you understand the chiyuv to put tzitzis on the talis after 30 days? According to the Ramban and Tosfos and Menachot, it's Maris Ayin. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Ksutcha Midirabana. Now I gave you just parenthetically that in 6, if you look at Tosfos in 6, Tosfos has the same question about the 30-day thing. Okay, it's another source on this, but...
Another question, actually. Isn't the concept... I think it's from Lakos there also, that when you do loan something or borrow something, you have to give back the exact amount, not more, not less.
Of course.
So then giving...
That's a pasuk. It's called ribis.
Right, okay. So giving back a bigot that you took without tzitzis with tzitzis, isn't that giving back more?
No, because Sheila doesn't have the same halacha. That's one of the nafkaminas.
So it doesn't apply to Sheila.
Nope. And there's a good reason for that. Why?
Well, there'd be a contradiction either.
No.
You can't.
There's a good reason.
Because
this is not ribis. It's called a rental. Right? If I give you my suit and say give it back to me after 30 days plus $100, am I allowed to do that? Yes, it's called a rental.
But I thought if
that's not called interest.
No,
it's called renting.
No, I mean in terms of renting, like if you gave me a bottle of ketchup, I can't return half a ketchup or a bottle and half a ketchup after returning exactly how much you gave me.
Correct.
You know? So same thing here, no?
No, it's not the same. What's the difference? Tell me the
That's
difference.
Not money, ketchup.
No, tell me the difference. Tell me the difference. Why is one of those?
I understand why. Less.
Why is one of those called a halva and one is called a sheila?
The suits.
Because you're right.
It's all the same thing as opposed to.
No. I should have
money
been clear.
Versus
halva is money or
things that you
money equivalent
use. Meaning.
Yes, sheila is where I'm giving you an object and I want the same object back. I'm just letting you use it. When I give you my ketchup, I'm not letting you use it. I'm letting you take it from me.
Right.
You're paying me back. You're not returning my object. Whenever you're paying me back, so that's, you're right, that's ribis. But when a suit, you're not paying me back. I'm letting you use it. That's like saying I can't rent you my house. I'm giving you my house for a year. Give it back to me at the end of the year. You can't take any money for it because of ribis. No, obviously not. That's not a loan. That's a rental. So... when it comes to an object that I'm returning be'en, I'm returning intact, that's a she'ela.
Can the one return?
That's really the difference. It's really, ribis is a loan, halva'ah, is money and money equivalents, which is something that you're not expected to return this object. Because you're not expected to return the same $50, you're expected to return $50 because you're expected to use the money.
So anything perishable.
Yes, exactly.
That's when no one asks, can I borrow some coffee?
It's when you pay back, it's not really paying.
So
that's why it's not a problem.
So then, can the one that borrowed the beged, right, and then he put on talis, right, and then he gave it back, can he request monetary compensation for putting on talis?
So that's a complicated sugya. So that's a complicated sugya.
Obligated deraisa. To put it on, because then, let's say it became...
He can demand it back. He can say, give me the strings or I'll pay for it. For sure he can do that.
Meaning
in this case, it's easy.
He
takes it off. Yeah. Meaning, what you're saying is a much more... there is a much more complicated sugya, which is, what if I improve your land without your knowledge? Do I have to pay you? And that's a very complicated sugya. This is not so complicated, because you could just say, you don't want it, so I'll take it off and I'll put it on my baguette. So less complicated. But yeah, clearly he can either demand money or demand the tzitzit back, obviously. Okay. Now what would you say though? Oh, so we have Tosfos pretty clear. What about mezuzah? The Gemara equates talis to mezuzah.
Yeah.
So would you say that all the full analysis that we said by talis has to be true by mezuzah? Or could it be different?
Well, it depends what the chiyuv is on.
Good. So look at Tosfos. Tosfos continues. Afal gav dimi mezuzah chayav asocher. Ki demazik asan dveit chalo asal afukai bais acher melek derav adamar derech biyatcha.
That's a really intense chayav.
Right. Tosfos says, And this is Machlokes and Rishonim as well. But Tosfos assumes by mezuzah after 30 days is the Chiyuv Derabanan Daraisa.
Daraisa.
So are these exactly parallel?
No.
No. There, and he says, what's the difference? Perakama di yoman am ikah of a high time at lo mistabar kralam ude beit achirim. The Cheva de l'shimur avid lo shna. He said, why is that different? Because mezuzah. So there's two reasons you can distinguish. The simple reason is because the Gemara calls mezuzah a chovat hadar, that it's an obligation on the one who lives there rather than the owner.
So it's not really on the person, it's not really on the house, it's
on the
person currently
correct.
Currently,
but that's not actually what he says here, that's what he says elsewhere. Here he says that a mezuzah protects you, and whoever's living there needs this protection, and therefore after 30 days...
I've always had a question on that. What does that mean, a mezuzah protects you?
It's very problematic to figure out what it means. Because the Rambam says you can't mean that it means an amulet. That's right. Not what it is. It means that by recognizing God, when you go in and out of your house, God will protect you. Because of what the mezuzah causes in you would be the more...
Because you remember God by...
Right, it's not an amulet. Right? The Rambam is very clear. You make mezuzah into an amulet. He says in Ilchot Mezuzah, if you make it like an amulet, that's terrible. Right? Because you're not only you doing this quasi-Avo Dezara stuff, you're turning a Dvar Mitzvah into... your amulet, it's that it reminds you of God when you go in and out of your house, and that protects you. But however you understand it, this Tosfos seems to be willing to say that these sugyot are not exactly parallel. And there he says, "Miu kol shloshim yom pater delav beit dira didehu." Within 30 days, it's not your living place. And he proves this from the fact that in other areas of Halacha, when do you become considered a dweller of a place? 30 days. So, for example, when do you become obligated in the minhagim of a place? Living there 30 days. When do you become obligated to pay taxes? After 30 days.
I thought we learned that in our minhag mega mishmar that it's not 30 days, but it's... Well, if you come to a new neighborhood, like, that's what you have to do. At least in public.
So there's two different questions. One is what you have to do in public because of Chumra Makam Shiatsu Misham. But when do you become a member of the new place, Lekula Vilchumra, that you can now give up your old Minhagim and take on the new Minhagim? Right, that's when we start talking about it. But what's the problem Tosfos has to deal with? Is that the Sugya seems to equate them. So what is Tosfos' answer? Not a big deal. So you're right, these halachot aren't exactly parallel. By mezuzah, where it's about the dar, or it's about the person protected, after 30 days, you become chayev mida araisa. By the way, the poskim, well, I don't want to get into this too much. It's not really, are you chayev after 30 days? It's how long are you going to be there, because then the chayev happens immediately. Right, it's a bit more complicated. It's not that you become chayav 30 days. It's that if you're going to live there for 30 days, that dira is called a dira. You have to put on a mezuzah. That's really what it is. But at any rate, he thinks that there's no difference. There's no problem saying that they're both the araisa. Sorry. There's no problem saying one is the araisa, one is the rabbanan, and they're just parallel in structure, not in rationale. That by talis, it has to be your clothing. 30 days changes either because Rabbeinu Tam, it's your clothing midrabanan, or Maris Ayin.
Is he learning out?
But my mezuzah, you're daraisa.
From mezuzah or mezuzah from talis?
Neither. He's just saying they're structurally parallel, and that's why the Gemara puts them.
Why does that matter?
The Gemara says Tani Nami Hachi, and therefore he has to explain the parallel. And therefore he says they're just structurally parallel.
But
not fundamentally parallel.
Meaning they are parallel, and they're trying to explain why.
Correct. And Tosfos' answer is they're not parallel conceptually, they're just parallel
structurally,
meaning the difference is before and after 30 days. But you're right, by mezuzah, after 30 days, even though you don't own it, because the obligation is on the person who lives there, or the person who needs protection, different formulations, different tosfosim, you're chayev midareisa. By talis, you're chayev kotav maris ayin. Now, Rabbeinu Tam is a little bit better, because according to Rabbeinu Tam, why is Rabbeinu Tam better? They are conceptually linked. Because according to Tosfos, they're not conceptually linked at all. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, are they conceptually linked? They are. It's true that one is Daraisa, but one is Darabanan, but...
They still have this concept of 30-day thing.
the concept of 30 days isn't that it's a Maris Ayin difference. It's that after 30 days, you become a liver or an owner. It's just, yes, you become a liver, midaraisa, you become an owner, midarabanan, but they're conceptually parallel if one in daraisa level, one in derabanan level. The second day in Tosfos is, no, I'm not willing to buy that, which is, miyu yesh lomer de mezuzah na midarabanan, tshrei beit chakzivei. No, maybe they have to be actually parallel. And if you say that talis is only derabanan, then it must be that mezuzah is derabanan. And in fact, mezuzah, you're only really chayiv if you own the place, and even after 30 days, you're only chayiv midarabanan. So Tosfos' first answer is, they're structurally parallel. Mezuzah, you're chayiv midaraisa after 30 days because you are now a liver, or you're the one being protected. By talis, it's maris ayin, they're not conceptually connected. Rabbeinu Tam, they are conceptually connected, but daraisa derabanan. Answer two in Tosfos is, they're both derabanan. Don't get me all annoyed, they're both derabanan. Really, the rule is owner and both. Mezuzah and talis, that's the real rule. Owner, end of story. Everything else is just derabanan.
How is mezuzah and derabanan?
Because unless you own the house, you're not chayev. And after 30 days, it's derabanan.
Because beit hacha.
Exactly. Exactly. So those are the three models we've seen so far. Now, if you look at the Shittim Mekubetzes, Shittim Mekubetzes here says, Mezuzah kol shloshim yom p'tura, mikam eilech chayevet min ha-Torah, v'yav agav dechde beitecha, amrinan beberek reish dageiz, daza kadirava derech v'yatcha. He says, don't make too much of derech beitcha. There are other drashot in the Gemara, namely derech b'yatcha. What's derech b'yatcha? The mezuzah goes on the right hand side as you enter the house. So we use the drasha for something else. So don't make a drasha.
Doesn't Tosfos say that?
Yeah. The hachi ida hazam. Since it's avagav tichsim ksutcha, the mashma lo shel shutafut. Haktiv big dehem, vafil shutafut, uksutcha, vlo shel achirim. Mezuzah, avagav tichsim ksutcha, the mashma lo shel shutafut, haktiv b'man yirbu yimeichem, vafil shutafut, derech b'yatcha. And he says, what if you co-own it? Right, once you say by tzitzis there is an obligation of ksutcha. So he says, you might have thought that once we limit it to that which you own, it would also exclude a co-owned garment, kamash malan. It says big dehem, which is plural. So the halacha is you have to own it, but not exclusively. Okay? Therefore, borrowed, out. Partnership, in. Because shutafut is ownership, just partial. Borrowed is non-ownership. And the same thing is true by mezuzah. So therefore, what Shita Mekubetzet adds to this is that yes, there's a biblical obligation of ownership, but no, it's not exclusive ownership. It just means ownership as opposed to borrowing, not ownership as opposed to exclusive ownership. Okay? That's what Shita Mekubetzet adds to this sugya. So far, are we clear? Do you have to, should we review it quickly? Daraisa.
Yes.
Everyone agrees?
Yes.
You need to own it. Shidu Gubetzet adds that when we say own, what do we mean?
Exclusive.
Not exclusive. Even partnered. He assumes that. We'll see that it's not so clear, but that's what he assumes. Borrow. All the Rishonim we've seen so far think that at least by tzitzis, is it daraisa derabanan?
Derabanan.
But they divide. Tosfot here, Ramban say, purely maris ayin, there is no magic to 30 days, it's just that that's the normal amount that people lend out objects, and therefore within 30 days there's no maris ayin problem, outside of 30 days there is a maris ayin problem. And, is it parallel conceptually to mezuzah?
No,
just structurally. Rabbeinu Tam says that no, just like by monetary loans, the automatic is 30 days. By objects, the automatic is 30 days, and therefore you're not allowed to demand it back within 30 days. It's still Durabanan, but after 30 days, why are you Chayim and Tzitzis? Not because of Marazayin, but because
halacha.
It's the Halacha. Midurabanan, it's yours. It's like yours. So therefore, is this, it's conceptually parallel to Mezuzah?
A little bit.
Doraisa Durabanan. Or you say that the same thing is true of Mezuzah. Right? First possibility was that Mezuzah is about who lives there, and that's why you become obligated biblically after 30 days. Talis is only about, right, doesn't require, is different. Or you say that no, Mezuzah also requires ownership, and therefore, just like by Talis, it's Ke'ein yours after 30 days in Chayim Midrabanan, the house becomes Ke'ein yours after 30 days, and therefore they're exactly conceptually parallel. Not even conceptually similar, but they're conceptually parallel. That is Tosfos' second possibility.
How are the 30 days calculated?
What do you mean?
Meaning it's 30 days of you renting it or 30 days of you actually living inside it?
Presumably living.
So if you rent it for 30 days, but you've only been there for a week and a half, you're not chayav at the end of the 30-day mark? Meaning, I rented on January 1st, right?
Yeah. Well, the Gemara says it's about there, it's about living there. It seems to be about living, yes. It's about living.
So, if I stay there from the 1st to the 7th, then I didn't stay there from the 8th till the 20th, and then again from the 21st to the 30th.
So this gets complicated, right? These things get complicated. We dealt with it a little bit last year, right? How exactly do the findings, and in, out. We dealt with all types of interesting cases, but...
I remember dealing with that last year.
You were here when we were doing Mezuzah?
No.
Okay. No, it's turning to Yosef. Turning to Yosef. Because Yosef obviously has to remember it. Okay. What time is it? 12:10. Okay. What I wanted to do was finish up with the Rambam here. Okay, so it will take us another day. That's fine. The Rambam's position, the Rav basically has an analysis of the Rambam's position in these.
Where's the Rambam?
Number three. I gave you five places in the Rambam to look.
Oh, I didn't look that up. Oops.
Five places in the Rambam. So with all these models in mind, I guess tomorrow let's try for the Rambam. The most important things for you to see, if you get time, though you won't because we said we're going to have share at the beginning,
right,
is the Rambam's and the Rush, because the Rush is the one who deals with the question of, is this the same for a beged that's borrowed with tzitzis? Or is this talking about a beged that doesn't have tzitzis? After that, it's halacha, and I... okay, we'll see. I hope to do it tomorrow. If not, we'll have to wait till after Shemini, you'll just have to remember it.
Or we could bring the Sefer with us and have share.
There, that's an idea.
Or on the airplane.
That's an idea.